you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 10 as we continue in our series, Here Comes the Sun, Revelation chapter 20 starting at verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark or their forehead on their hand or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Then 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, what the millennium means, this 1,000-year reign that you're going to have on earth, what that means for us today, right here and now. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Ever since the Hamas terrorist attack slaughtered over 1,500 Jews in Israel last October the 7th, everybody and their brother all over the world has turned out to get their Jew hate on. Last Sunday, over 500,000 Jew haters marched through the streets of London, England to slam the Jewish people. And see a couple of the signs that they used to prove that stupid is as stupid does? Israel, your days are numbered. And for world peace, Israel must be destroyed. Well, guess again, because Israel's days aren't numbered, Israel's just getting started. And for peace, Israel is not going to be destroyed in the world. Israel is going to rule the world during the millennium under the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events and God's plan for the last days leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Last time we looked at the Battle of Armageddon, and today we look at the next thing on the timeline that starts right when the smoke of that battle clears, and that's the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 10. In this part of Revelation chapter 20, Jesus starts ruling the whole wide world after the Battle of Armageddon. And in our text today, he sets up that millennial kingdom that's going to last for 1,000 years. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to understand the millennium. We need to understand what it means for us right here and now today. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, tells us three things that we need to understand about the millennium. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about the millennium is that the millennium is real. And that's exactly what John is telling us here in verses 1 through 3. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, you don't take this literally, do you? Why shouldn't we? Amen. Millennium means 1,000. The Holy Spirit specifically mentions 1,000 years 6 times in these 10 verses. Do you think maybe, just maybe, we're supposed to take this literally? Folks, we're not talking about Han Solo and the Millennial Falcon in Star Wars here. We're talking about Jesus Christ and Millennial Kingdom in the last days. Something literal, something real. After Armageddon, verses 1 through 3, an angel come down from heaven, gets the devil in a Texas cloverleaf hold, and chains him in hell for 1,000 years. The devil is bound for 1,000 years. Jesus rules for 1,000 years. The millennium is real. But sadly enough, too many Christians don't even believe in the millennium. The Bible tells us more about the millennium than any other time in the last days. The Bible tells us more about the millennium than any other time, period. Moses prophesied about it. Jesus predicted it. The Old Testament is filled to bursting with hundreds and hundreds of verses about it. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. The lion will lay down with the lamb. That's talking about the millennium. But most churches never mention it at all. 42 years of ministry. The only sermons I have ever heard about the millennium are the ones I preached myself. Amen. And why? A lot of it's because of replacement theology. This stupid idea that when the Jews rejected Jesus, God turned his back on them forever. So now Christians have replaced the Jews and the church has replaced Israel in God's plan for the end times, which is absolutely ridiculous because remember that covenant that God made with Israel and the Jewish people is what? Unconditional. Jeremiah chapter 31 verses 35 and 36. You can't destroy the nation of Israel any more than you can destroy the sun, the moon, and the stars. Israel will never cease to be a nation, and the Jews will never cease to be God's chosen people. And here's the kicker, verse 37, Jeremiah 31, regardless of what they have done, unconditional. Not one single time in your Bible are Christians ever called God's chosen people. We're the body of Christ, but we are not God's chosen people because the Jews are God's chosen people, and they always will be. A lot of the millennium is about Israel. Church ignores millennium to Israel. The church ignores the millennium. Too many Christians today just get the millennium wrong. Premillennialism says that Jesus comes pre or before the 1,000-year period starts. Postmillennialism says that Jesus Christ comes after the 1,000 years are over. And that 1,000 years is just a symbol of a long period of time when the church saves the world. But folks, with queer pastors and drag queens doing children's sermons, the church isn't saving the world. The church has become the world. If Jesus ain't coming back till after the church saves the world, hate to tell you this, Jesus ain't never coming back at all. And amillennialism really screws it up because they teach the millennium is now. The devil is bound right now. Seriously? Because last October the 7th, Hamas terrorists put Jewish babies in ovens and cooked them alive. Last October the 25th, a psycho shot and killed 18 people at a bar in Lewiston, Maine. So if the devil is bound in hell right now, he's got to be better at getting out of chains than Harry Houdini. Well, Kevin, you're just pushing that old-fashioned pre-trib, premillennial dispensationalism. No, it's called the truth. Because that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, there's all kinds of reasons for the millennium. And one of them is to fulfill that promise that God made to Israel about the land of Israel. The map you see there, top left-hand corner, shows what most of us think the land of Israel is. The map right next to it, though, shows us what the real land of Israel is. The real promised land that God originally promised to the Jewish people. Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. All are parts of Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, Sudan, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, Oman, Yemen, Saudi Arabia. I could go on and on. At no time in their history did Israel ever possess all that territory, not even during the glory days under King David and Solomon. So during the real millennium, the real people of Israel are going to get the real land of Israel. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham and his wife Sarah didn't have a son to inherit the promise. So Abraham gets his freak on and hooks up with Sarah's Egyptian maid Hagar, makes a baby boy named Ishmael the father of the Arab people. Then Abraham and Sarah get busy and they make a boy of their own, Isaac, just like God promised. Two sons, only one blessing. What does God say? Genesis chapter 17, verse 21. I'll take Ishmael and I'll make his descendants a great people. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. So God gave the land of Israel to Abraham's descendants through Isaac, the Jewish people, not to Abraham's descendants through Ishmael, the Arab people. And the Arab people who gave birth to the religion of Islam have been fighting the Jews over that land ever since. See, the media tells you what is happening in the Middle East. The Bible tells you why it's happening in the Middle East. 1948, when all the Muslims surrounding Muslim countries attacked Israel, the Israelis told Arabs living in Israel, stay in your homes, you won't be hurt. And those who did stay home eventually became full-fledged Israeli citizens. But the Muslim leaders told those people to flee to refugee camps, including refugee camps in Gaza and the West Bank. And 800,000 of them did. And today they number in the millions and millions and millions. And those Muslim leaders of those Muslim countries purposely hold them in those refugee camps in squalor to breed hate and terrorism against the Jewish people. And they call themselves Palestinians, even though they're just Arabs, mostly Jordanian. PLO leader Zuhair Mohsen said this: "The Palestinian people do not really exist, and a Palestinian state has never existed either. Trying to create a Palestinian state is just a way to continue our struggle against the state of Israel and to try to destroy the Jews." Amen! So can we get rid of this stupid idea once and for all that Israel is illegally occupying Palestinian territory? Because it's not Palestinian territory, it's Israeli territory. And the Jews don't occupy it, they own it because God gave it to them 4,000 years ago already, for crying out loud. And everybody and his brother keeps talking about a two-state solution. Since 1937, the Palestinians have been offered a two-state solution 18 different times, and they rejected it 18 different times. And why? Because they don't want a state of Palestine. They just don't want the state of Israel to exist at all. From the river to the sea, they just want the Jews dead. And how do we know that? Listen to what this Palestinian man said on the streets of London, England last Sunday.
"Every so many hundred years, the Zionists get slaughtered because Hitler knew how to deal with these people.
Did you catch that? Hitler knew how to deal with these people. Picture you see here is a book that IDF found on the body of a dead Palestinian in Gaza last Monday. It's a copy of Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, translated into Arabic. Still think the Palestinians want peace and coexistence with Israel and to give them a Coke and a smile? And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, what in the world is the big hairy deal? Why can't Israel just give up some land, for crying out loud? Can we just take a step back here and get some perspective for a second? A picture you see on the screen shows how dinky, how puny Israel really is compared to all the Muslim Arab countries in the Middle East. Israel only covers 0.1% of all the territory in the Middle East. The Arab Muslim countries, 99.99% of all the territory in the Middle East. Israel is only 8,622 square miles. Arab Muslim countries, 5,392,366 square miles. Israel is so small, it's barely the size of the state of New Jersey. You could take the nation of Israel and drop it in Lake Michigan, and it would disappear altogether. Israel is only 263 miles long from north to south, only 71 miles wide east to west at its widest point. So small, you can travel to all four borders of Israel in less than 15 hours. In comparison, the Arab Muslim countries are twice the size of the United States of America. Israel is the only Jewish nation in the Middle East. It's the only Jewish nation in the entire world. Meanwhile, there are 22 Arab Muslim countries in the Middle East. Israel only has 9 million people, 80% of them Jews. The Arab Muslim countries, 346 million people, hardly any of them Jews. Now you take a look at that map, you take a look at that picture, and you tell me what country in the Middle East can best afford to give up land to create a Palestinian state. And of course, the answer is any one of those Muslim countries. But they won't. And you know why? I'll tell you why. Because the issue is not really the Palestinians. The issue is not the land. The issue is not the size of Israel. The only real issue is the very existence of Israel, period. Because even a piece of land the size of a postage stamp would be too much if there was a Jew living on it. Geography books that little Palestinian kids use in their Palestinian schools don't even have Israel on the map. The very existence of a Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim Middle East is like a bone stuck in the Muslim's throat. And no Palestinian state is ever, ever, ever going to change that. And how do we know that? Starting in 1948, the Jews turned the Gaza Strip into one of the garden spots of the world, with thousands of greenhouses where they grew millions of dollars worth of famous flowers and vegetables that were exported all over the world. The place was an agricultural paradise. But then 2005, Israel turned Gaza over to the Muslim Palestinians, and the first thing the Palestinians did was to burn all the greenhouses to the ground. Then 2007, over 70% of Palestinians voted in Hamas as their government. So they turned Gaza into a third world hellhole with no real functioning economy whatsoever that exists only to breed terrorists and human shields for constant rocket attacks against the Jewish people. So 2005, Gaza told Israel, do the two-state solution. You give us land, we will give you peace. How's that working out for them? And you know why? Because you cannot negotiate land for peace with people who want neither land for peace. They just want the Jews dead. Tiny little Israel, no bigger than the state of New Jersey, that little sliver of a country in the Middle East, is now the focus of the whole wide world. It's the focus of the news every single day. And why? Because Israel is ground zero for the end times. Two-state solution, one-state solution. Hell, there is no solution until Jesus Christ comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. And the real people of Israel are given all the real land of Israel that God intended them to have from the very beginning. First thing we need to understand about the millennium is real. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about the millennium. Not only is the millennium real, but during the millennium, Jesus Christ is going to reign and rule. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 4 through 6. Jesus Christ will reign and rule in people's hearts because during the millennium, the Jews are finally going to get saved. And I realize that's hard to believe. Last summer, the hyper-Orthodox Jewish government in Israel even tried to make it illegal to share the Christian gospel in that country. Tel Aviv is now the gayest city on the entire planet. The Jews in Israel today are as lost as Adam Kinzinger at a Trump rally. But the Bible tells us during the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ parts the clouds, God's going to pour out His Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, the Jewish people will gaze upon the one whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for Him as for an only son, and the remnant of Israel will be saved. Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And not because they are God's chosen people, John Hagee, but because they will have chosen Jesus as their Savior. Jesus will reign and rule. And Jesus will reign and rule not only over the nation of Israel, but also over the whole wide world out of Israel. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And who's all going to be there? Well, the pagan survivors of the Battle of Armageddon, they will be there. All Christian believers who are part of the first resurrection, verses 4 and 5, they'll be there. The rapture saints, the tribulation saints, all the resurrections leading up to the second resurrection, because the second resurrection is just the resurrection of all the unbelieving dead out of hell for the great white throne judgment. So if you're a believer, you will be in the millennium in a spiritual glorified body. If you are not a believer, you will also be there. If you survive the Great Tribulation and the Battle of Armageddon, you will be there in the natural body you have right now. And what are we Christians going to be doing during the millennium? We're going to be judging. So it's not Judge Joe Brown and Judge Judy. It's going to be Judge Denise and Judge John and Judge Ed. The Bible says we're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. We're going to be judging the nations and how they treated Israel during the Great Tribulation. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be judging angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. And we're going to be judging all the unbelievers that are there. There's unbelievers listening to this word right now. You listen to my sermons every single Sunday to collect ammunition against me. Because you hate me and you hate everything that I say and stand for. And you tell me the same thing all the time. Kevin, you have no right to judge me. Oh, yes, I do. Because you go into the millennium and you're not a believer, eventually you're going to stand in front of Judge Kevin Garner. So here's your choice. You can accept Christ now and rule with me, or you can reject Jesus Christ and be ruled by me. Your worst nightmare. What's it going to be? Jesus Christ will reign as the Jewish Messiah over a Jewish kingdom from a Jewish throne out of the Jewish capital city of Jerusalem because He is the Lion of Judah. What does a 500-pound lion do? Anything he wants. Here, kitty, kitty. So Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and His wrath flare up in an instant. You accept Him, He will bless you. You reject Him, He will bite you. And you decide now what's going to happen to you then. What's it going to be? During the millennium, Jesus Christ will reign over a literal physical kingdom, and Christians, we're going to reign and rule with Him. And as a result, what's that kingdom going to be all about? Righteousness and peace. The real utopia. Paradise. What the world should have been without sin. Heaven on earth before heaven starts. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 20 says during the millennium, Jesus will reverse the curse. So people will start living to be 700, 800, 900 years old again like they did back in the book of Genesis. You think the checkout lines at Aldi's are too long now? The Bible says that God will change nature so that people and animals won't be afraid of each other anymore. The video you see on the screen shows a man hand feeding a wild black bear. Other video.
It's showing what appears to be a man hand feeding a bear.
You want that one there, bud?
The incident is said to have taken place off of Highway 4 near Tofino. Conservation officers are now investigating.
Is that guy crazy? That thing could have peeled his arm like a banana. But see, during the millennium, things like that are going to happen all the time. The next video you see shows what happens to a woman at a wild safari park in Beijing, China last June. And that woman was killed. And you know why she got out of the car to start with? Because she was having an argument with her husband. But see, during the millennium, that would have never happened. Because not only would that woman not have been mauled by that tiger, she wouldn't have been arguing with her husband to start with. Because all sin, all wrongdoing, all fights, all arguments will not be tolerated. Psalm 2:9, He will rule with an iron rod. Amen. People taking up two parking spots at Walmart during the millennium, ain't going to happen. People not taking their grocery carts to the cart corral or back inside the store, millennium, ain't going to happen. Drink beer, drop deer. Better get your limit now while there's still time. No porn stores, no pot shops, no strip clubs, no drag queen shows. Nobody's ever going to force you to bake a gay wedding cake because there won't be any gay weddings. You're never going to have to protest at an abortion clinic because there won't be any abortions. No fake news. No Russian collusion hoaxes. No Trump derangement syndrome. Aunt Jemima won't be racist and everybody will know what a woman is. Can you imagine? Picture you see on the screen. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Does anybody else see the demons in that guy, or is it just me? You ever notice how animated he gets when he signs another abortion bill? Ecstatic. He's giddy about it. That guy is really, 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 really into killing babies. And if they survive the womb, into letting Dr. Frankenstein's cut their breasts and their penises off when they're 11 and 12 years old. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 9, the land is full of blood and justice is far away. But during the millennium, J.B. Pritzker, he gone. Hold on, Christians, hold on, because it's coming. It's coming. Everybody and his brother today, all over the world, going all Kanye West and hating on the Jews. Everybody trying to spread jihad against the nation of Israel. Global, worldwide. Generation Z is now worshiping Osama bin Laden on TikTok. Osama bin Laden, people. You don't think this is spiritual blindness? You don't think this is demonic deception in the last days that the Bible talks about? See the sign these people are holding up? Queers for Palestine. You know how many queers there are in Palestine? Zero. Because the Muslims throw them off the top of buildings and kill them all. People have no idea what they're doing. It's like chickens protesting for KFC. I guarantee you, during the millennium, nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to protest against Israel or slam the Jewish people. last Tuesday, over 300,000 Americans went to Washington, D.C. to take a stand for the nation of Israel. There's only two countries in the history of the whole wide world that cite God's hand in their founding, Israel and the United States. Israel is the only real friend America has in the Middle East. It's the only outpost of Western civilization in an ocean of Islamic tyranny. Israel always votes with the United States and the United Nations. I could go on and on. I am a born-again, Bible-believing, Christian, conservative patriot in the Judeo-country of America. And I stand with the Holy Land of Israel, who gave me God and the Bible and Yeshua HaMashiach and the old rugged cross, the only thing that can save my sorry rear end from hell. And I am part of a church that prays for the peace of Jerusalem and flies the Israeli flag in the parking lot. And even if the FBI investigates us for being domestic terrorists for it, we will stand with Israel. So help us God. And Christians, we better stand with Israel. Because history proves over and over again what a train wreck it is when we don't. Because book it, take it to the bank. Every time the United States of America talks about dividing up the land of Israel for a Palestinian state, Katie bar the door. March 26, 1979, President Jimmy Carter got a peace treaty signed between Israel and Egypt that caused Israel to give up huge chunks of territory, including the Sinai Peninsula. And what do you know? Just 36 hours later, the worst nuclear reactor accident in the history of America made headlines all over the country. Three Mile Island, anybody? October 30th, 1991, the Madrid Peace Conference in Spain that brought Israelis and Palestinians together for the very first time to negotiate. During his opening remarks, President George H.W. Bush said that territorial concessions are necessary for peace. What do you know? The very next day, a monster storm that had been brewing in the Atlantic all of a sudden amazingly changed course, traveled 1,000 miles in the opposite direction, and slammed President Bush's mansion in Kennebunkport, Maine, with 35-foot waves. April 22nd, 1992. Paris-Madrid Peace Conference moved to Washington, D.C. Very next day, Hurricane Andrew made landfall in Florida, causing over $30 billion in damage. The worst natural disaster in the history of this country up to that date. January 14, 1994, President Bill Clinton met with President Bashar al-Assad of Syria about Israel giving up the Golan Heights for a Palestinian state. And just 24 hours later, the Northridge earthquake hit Southern California, the second worst natural disaster in U.S. history. January 21st, 1998, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived at the White House, but Bill Clinton refused to meet with him. Later that same day, the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, and Bill Clinton's presidency was never the same. April 30th, 2003, a roadmap to peace was presented in Washington, D.C. to Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, and over the next 17 days, the U.S. was hit by a staggering record 412 tornadoes, the largest tornado cluster recorded anywhere in the history of the world. August of 2005, President George W. Bush pressured Israel to evacuate all Jewish citizens and give the Gaza Strip entirely to the Palestinians. August 23rd, 2005, 30 minutes, just 30 minutes after the last Jew left Gaza, Hurricane Katrina slammed in the Louisiana coast at a place called Plaquemines Parish, the worst natural disaster in the history of this country up to this point. And 18 years later, the city of New Orleans still hasn't recovered from it. May 19th, 2011. President Barack Obama purposely had that picture taken of him with his shoes up on his desk. Shoes considered unclean and an insult in Middle East culture. While he was on the phone talking to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, telling them they had to go back to pre-1967 borders in order to create a Palestinian state. Talk about sending a message to the Muslim world. 3 days later, a half-mile-wide monster F5 double vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri, the single most destructive tornado in American history. September 22, 2022, Joe Biden gave a speech at the UN General Assembly in New York, calling on Israel to give up territory for a Palestinian state. The very next day, Hurricane Ian defied all odds. And amazingly, incredibly, intensified like crazy and slammed in the west coast of Florida as a Category 5 monster, the worst natural disaster in the history of this country to this day. April 23rd, 2023, again, Joe Biden called on Israel to give up land for a Palestinian state. The very next day, Hurricane Idalia hits Florida with 125 mile an hour winds. I could go on and on and on and on. And why is all this happening? I'll tell you why. Because those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And Joel chapter 3 verse 2, God will judge any nation that tries to divide His land. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger. And you do not touch Israel, the apple of God's eye. The second thing we need to understand about the millennium. In the millennium, Jesus Christ reigns and rules. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about the millennium. Not only is the millennium real, not only during the millennium is Jesus going to reign and rule, but third, all opposition against Jesus Christ will be destroyed. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 7 through 10. Because there will be opposition. Because even though it's heaven on earth, even though Satan is bound, even though righteousness is strictly enforced, all the pagan survivors of the Battle of Armageddon still have a sinful nature. So even though they're obeying on the outside, on the inside, they're still rebelling and hating God. And verse 8 says, over that period of 1,000 years, their population will increase to billions and billions. And verse 7, after the devil is let out of hell, after the 1,000 years are over, for his last rodeo, he will gather up all those malcontents for one last ditch attack against God and his people. In verse 8 there, it says Gog and Magog. That is not talking about the battle of Gog and Magog, because that happened at the start of the Great Tribulation. Not here after the tribulation, at the end of the millennium. So Gog and Magog there are just a symbolic way of talking about God's enemies. And what happens? Notice verse 9 doesn't give a whole lot of details about this battle at all. And why? Because it's over before it even starts. We Christians don't have to fight it. We don't even have to fire a shot. And none of the good guys even get injured. Because no ceasefire, no humanitarian pause. And the heck with what the world says with the so-called rules of war. Because verse 9, just like that, God sends fire down from heaven and instantaneously incinerates them and cremates them and annihilates them. Just like that.
Here's the moment when a meteor enters the atmosphere over Idaho and illuminates the night sky. When slowed down, we can see the bright white tail coming off the back. Finally, the meteor releases
just
a flash.
Just like that. Poof! No fuss, no muss. God doesn't even call the vultures here to come and eat the dead enemy bodies like He did at the Battle of Armageddon. And you know why? Because there aren't any enemy bodies. There are not even any bones to pick over. Just piles of ashes. And I know somebody's saying, Kevin, you're preaching a mean and an angry God. I am preaching the God of the Bible, who is so righteous and so holy, He is a consuming fire to anybody who tweaks Him, but who is also so loving and so merciful. 2,000 years ago, He put His Son Jesus Christ through hell on a cross to pay the price for your sin and save your soul if you would just repent and turn to Him. In verse 10, the devil is thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. And if you're listening to this sermon right now and you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you go into the end times and you're lost, you're going to be in hell too. And you'll never get out. What's the message? Resistance is futile. All opposition will be destroyed. And we are getting a preview of what's going to be happening in the millennium right now. With what's going on in Gaza in Israel. Because what's going on there right now is fulfilling all kinds of Bible prophecy, how Israel is going to crush all of her enemies in the last days. Psalm chapter 83 verses 4 through 6 talks about all the countries and all the people who are fighting against Israel right now. Philistia is Gaza. Assyria is Syria. Tyre is Hezbollah in Lebanon. Edom, Moab, Ammon are the Palestinians. I could go on and on. Amos chapter 1 verse 7 says God will send fire against the gates of Gaza. Zephaniah chapter 2 verses 4 through 7, Gaza will be forsaken. People, look at those pictures of what IDF has done to Gaza in just the last 4 weeks. Don't tell me Bible prophecy isn't being fulfilled right in front of our very eyes. Don't tell me we're not living in the last days. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1 says the city of Damascus will be turned into a pile of ruins. Benjamin Netanyahu told Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad, if Syria did not stop supplying Hezbollah, IDF would turn the city of Damascus into what? A pile of ruins. His exact words. Israel has already bombed the airport in Damascus and also Aleppo. Reading your Bible is just as current as reading today's newspaper. You don't think the millennium is coming? You don't think what's going on right now isn't setting the stage for it? And no government or combinations of governments will ever be able to stand up against the Lord. Amen. Last September, Joe Biden was this close to getting Benjamin Netanyahu to sign the Abraham Accords with Saudi Arabia that would have carved up the land of Israel to create a Palestinian state that Joe Biden was going to be happy to present at the United Nations. And in return, Saudi Arabia was supposed to take charge of East Jerusalem and build Israel a third temple. And you know why that never happened? Because of the terrorist attacks in Israel on October the 7th. Joel chapter 3 verse 2, God will judge any nation, including Israel, who tries to divide up his land. 2,000 years the Jewish people have never had peace in Israel. And why? Because it's only going to happen when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes and sets up his millennial kingdom. Amen. Not going to come from government. It's only going to come from God. Especially not that government. Last September, on the anniversary of 9/11, no less, Joe Biden unfroze $6 billion Iranian dollars that were in a bank account in South Korea. 1 month later, the biggest one-day attack against Jewish people since the Holocaust. By Hamas, that is funded by Iran. And the Biden administration says, well, one thing didn't have anything to do with the other. So just last Wednesday, Joe Biden unfroze another $10 billion Iranian dollars in another bank account, while Iran is firing missiles at U.S. troops in the Middle East. People, this is insanity. This is treason. And why is Joe Biden doing this? Because I know the investigator. Joe Biden told Iran that he would release $6 billion from that bank account in South Korea if the Biden crime family would have 1% of it. $60 million. What does Joe Biden get out of the $10 billion Iranian dollars? $100 million for the Biden crime family? Folks, this evil, despicable human being is selling out Israel. He's selling out the United States, even U.S. soldiers, for dirty, stinking money. I don't have respect for my government. I've got contempt for my government. Everything about this administration is a deep fake. Joe Biden is a deep fake himself. Anybody see Joe Biden when he came back from Israel last September? With that huge split in his chin? And that picture was not photoshopped either. Now, I know Joe Biden's had a lot of work done, but I don't know any plastic surgery in the world that would have done something like that to anybody. Everybody knows Joe Biden did not get 81 million real votes. His no malarkey presidential campaign in 2018 was absolutely dead in the water until the New World Order picked him. And before you knew it, he was in the White House. Joe Biden sold his soul to the devil for the most powerful job in the world. And now his mind is gone. But see, he wasn't picked for his mind. He was picked because he is a perfect front man for Barack Obama's third term. And now Joe Biden has fallen apart in front of our very eyes. But see, whatever's going on the outside is just a symptom of the spiritual rot that's going on the inside. But see, when Jesus comes during the millennium, he's not going to be a body double. He's not going to be a deep fake. He's not going to be a cheap knockoff. He's the real McCoy, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. Amen. And no Hamas, no opposition will ever be able to stand up against him. Most people don't realize that word Hamas, like the terrorist group, is in the Bible. And the Hebrew meaning for that word is literally violence or destruction or opposition to God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, one of the reasons for Noah's flood, there was too much violence, too much Hamas in the earth. But what does the Bible say is going to happen to that Hamas? Ezekiel chapter 45. Says, Hamas shall be removed from your land. Ezekiel chapter 46 says, God's justice will drive it away. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 18. Hamas will no longer be heard in your territory. And your walls will be called salvation and your gates praise. And when is Isaiah saying that's going to happen? What time was Isaiah prophesying about when he said that? The millennium. When Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. So Christians, listen to me. Hold on. Hold on. And keep trusting that God's going to do exactly the same thing for us. Because we've been dealing with all kinds of Hamas and violence and destruction for the last 3 years against us and against our country by all the control oligarchs who are pushing this demonic utopia called the Great Reset. Because you can't reset something unless you break it first. Klaus Schwab said this. The pandemic gives us a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And that's exactly what we've been dealing with for the last 3 years. Phase one of the Great Reset started in November 2019 when Dr. Fauci and the New World Order released the COVID virus to shut down the planet, to start a surveillance state, and to get Donald Trump out of the White House, the biggest obstacle to taking over the world. And all the emails proved Dr. Fauci not only knew that virus came from that lab, he wanted it to. Panic porn scared people into giving up their rights and locking down. Churches were closed while drinking and drugs and domestic violence and child abuse went through the roof. Kids were put in front of computers for 8 hours a day. Very next year, 4,000% increase in gender dysphoria and transgenderism. You don't think destruction of the family was part of the plan all along? And then the COVID vaccine, the experimental, never tested DNA altering clot shot. It didn't keep people from getting COVID. Didn't keep people from spreading it. And didn't keep people from dying from it. So why did they do it? To control you. And because Pfizer and Moderna were making $1 billion a day on it. And because the clot shot was filling the depopulation agenda by killing 15 million Americans who died suddenly, including actor Matthew Perry 2 weeks ago. Bill Gates of Hell said this. The population of the planet is heading toward 9 billion. But if we do a really good job with health care and vaccines, we could lower that by as much as 10 to 15%. COVID vaccine, the deadliest vaccine in the history of the world. And they're still pushing it. Taylor Swift's boy toy Travis Kelce is even making commercials for it. Here's part of the Moderna commercial about mRNA.
This is a piece of string, a strand. Doesn't seem like much, unless it's a strand of mRNA, the code of life inside every cell of your body. Then it has the power to change everything. mRNA has already changed how we fight viruses. It has created medicines at unprecedented speed. mRNA could change how we stand up to multiple diseases. From the widespread to the extremely rare.
What's the motto? This changes everything. You bet it does for the Great Reset. And the vaccines were supposed to pave the way for digital IDs that were supposedly to help you keep track of all your vaccines that you didn't even need to start with. So the last 3 years, millions of people have lined up to get the mark of the beast, an implantable human microchip that's linked to the internet and can exchange digital currency that 35 U.S. banks are already producing and pushing out. So you don't toe the leftist line. You buck the system in any way, shape, or form. Push of a button, all your money is gone. And if you don't think this is coming, last September, the G20 already laid out all the infrastructure that they're going to need to use digital IDs and digital currency to control every single aspect of your life. Just exactly like the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13. Phase two is all about supposedly saving the planet from human beings, useless eaters, as Yuval Harari calls us, with the communist Green New Deal and the UN Agenda 2030 that declares war on fossil fuels and pushes 15-minute cities to reduce your carbon footprint so the planet can heal. United Nations has declared war on farmers. The Netherlands is slaughtering cattle because they claim they produce too much methane. And Europe is banning all ads for red meat. Bill Gates is buying up hundreds of thousands of acres of farm ground to take it out of production. And the FDA has already approved cricket flour for human consumption. You heard a COVID lockdown? Get ready for climate lockdown, where you'll be forced to wear a mask to reduce your carbon footprint, while Agenda 2030 confiscates all your private property. But don't worry, you'll own nothing and you'll still be happy. See the brave new world Big Brother is creating for you to live in? And phase three of the Great Reset is World War III. That started last October the 7th with the terrorist attacks against the Jewish people in Israel. And every day, more and more countries and more people get sucked into it. Hamas and Islamic Jihad are now fighting Israel and Gaza. Hezbollah is now shelling Israel from Lebanon. Houthi rebels from Yemen are now shelling Israel from the Red Sea. Iranian militias are attacking Israel from Syria and Iraq. Iran now has a hypersonic missile that can reach Israel in 400 seconds. You know what that translates into? 6.66 minutes. 666. You don't think that this is a World War III is what the Bible tells us is going to happen in the last days? China and Russia have threatened to invade Israel if IDF doesn't have a ceasefire. Iranian proxies are already firing missiles and attacking U.S. soldiers at our bases in Iraq and Syria. 59 U.S. soldiers have already been wounded. America is already in this up to our eyeballs. World War III has already started. And you know what's funny about the whole thing? Last October the 7th, every major news organization in the United States, Reuters, CNN, Associated Press, all had photographers embedded with Hamas before the terrorist attacks even started. Don't tell me the New World Order not only knew this was going to happen, but helped the planet to happen just to get World War III started. And of course, Antichrist wannabe Emmanuel Macron, French president, held his sixth annual peace forum in Paris last November 10th and 11th. Something he started back in 2017 when he talked about a one world government and said that he wanted to rule the planet like the god Jupiter. And the focus of his peace forum this year was what? Bringing peace to the Middle East by taking over the city of Jerusalem. Just exactly what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do. And why the city of Jerusalem? Because the throne of David is there, that the Messiah is going to rule from. But see, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15 says the Antichrist is not going to rule on that throne like the Messiah. He will rule on that throne like the devil. And he will do what? He will offer fake peace, false peace, to deceive the world. And how do we know that's going to happen? Look at the logo that Emmanuel Macron made for his Paris peace forum. It's a human hand making an okay sign. See the sixes? There's one here, and there's another one here. 666. And what is that hand holding on to? It's holding on to a peace branch. The Antichrist offering fake peace, false peace, to deceive the world. Just exactly like the Bible says. Phase one, phase two, phase three. Game, set, match, Hamas, the great reset that the devil is going to use to take over the world. But Christians, listen to me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Because the very next thing on the end times timeline is not the great reset, it's the great return. The great reset isn't coming, Jesus is coming. And the government will be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Because Jesus won't take no lip, no mess, or no crap. And all these evil, despicable people with their evil, despicable designs about utopia, Revelation chapter 20, verse 9, fire is going to come down from heaven and devour them on the spot. Amen. Dr. Fauci and his deadly viruses, wet spot on the road. Klaus Schwab in Economic Forum, he's toast. Bill Gates of hell in 15-minute cities, he gone. The enemy you see today, you will never see again. When the smoke is all cleared and it's all said and done, The only thing left standing will not be the Great Reset or Build Back Better or Agenda 2030 or the Green New Deal. It will be the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one shall harm or destroy on all His holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And there will be peace. One of the biggest things we've been lacking, one of the biggest things we have been missing these last 3 years as we get further and further into the last days is peace. Because our days right now are so dark and so scary, and they seem so hopeless and so helpless. We constantly deal with the fear and the panic and the worry and the anxiety and the uncertainty. What in the world is going to happen? What is happening to our country and our rights? What kind of a country are our kids and grandkids going to have if they're around someday? We need peace. Christians, listen to me. Hold on. Hold on. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit longer. Keep loving your family. Keep living for Jesus. Keep fighting the battle. Hold on. Because as bad as it is now, it's going to be that much better then. Because the millennium is coming. And Jesus is coming. And the Lord will soon crush Satan under your feet. And there will be peace. Peace in the valley. For you. And for me.
Oh well, I'm tired and I'm weary, but I must go alone till the Lord comes and calls me away. Where the morning so bright and the lamb is alight, and the night is as black as the sea. Oh yeah. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Lord, I pray there be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. From the wild shall be led by a child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yeah. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Oh, there will be peace in the valley. There be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me.